Welcome into another edition of After the Whistle. I'm your host, Brandon Orrick, alongside Lucas and Presley. Guys, Championship Sunday's come and gone, and we have a Super Bowl matchup set. It's going to be the Atlanta Falcons taking on the New England Patriots.
Well, you can say that this is going to be a very good Super Bowl because both teams coming off of a, you can say, a blowout win their last game. So it's going to be a very interesting Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm very surprised. The Patriots in at it once again. How surprising is that? Bill Belichick, he's one of the best in the business, whether you like him or not, and Tom Brady is as well. I think that they've played pretty well throughout the playoffs, and they've been consistent all season. Just ready to see how they match up with the Falcons' powerhouse offense.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be interesting. What you got two great quarterbacks in Tom Brady and Matt Ryan. Of course, this being Matt Ryan's first Super Bowl appearance as to Brady's, what, seventh or eighth. So Brady definitely has more experience, along with, as you mentioned, Belichick, who definitely has more experience than Dan Quinn for Atlanta. But, you know, New England opens as the favorite. I think that they opened as a three-point favorite.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think this game has a great chance to be close, and I think it has a good chance to be a great game. But, you know, the one thing the Patriots are good at, they're good at taking away that one thing on offense that the other team does well. Like we saw Sunday, the Patriots basically took away Antonio Brown, and he was able to do nothing.
Yeah, the Patriots, they're good on offense and defense. So if one struggles, the other one, if it don't struggle, you know it's going to be good, and vice versa. So they're doing bad on defense, you know Tom Brady will have his offense ready to go. If Tom Brady is doing terrible on defense, you know Malcolm Butler and I think Dante Hightower, I think he still plays for them, not too for sure, but you know, it's going to be, like I said, an interesting Super Bowl. Both the defense is interesting because they're very good in offenses the same way, so it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I agree. I think what's going to really have to work for Atlanta at the end of the day is going to be their run game. They didn't really have much of a run game Sunday against the Packers. I think that they've got to get Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman on all four cylinders and get rolling and open up that play action for Matt Ryan, because that's really what's going to have to work for him if he wants to get that ball to Julio.
Yeah, if they do that, they will be a very hard team to stop.
Yeah, that's one thing I was thinking about. Who's the Patriots going to focus in more on defensively? Are they going to try to shut down the running backs with Coleman and Freeman, or are they going to try to shut down more of Julio Jones? And even if they double cover Julio Jones, I mean, he's shown that he can basically beat double coverage and still get open and catch touchdown passes.
Yeah, that's going to be a key for the Patriots defense, is who you're going to cover. You know, all week during practice this week and the remaining weeks to come, you know, they're going to focus on that, you know, because they have so many weapons on offense, and if you don't stop them, the Patriots will lose the game.
Yeah, I really think they're going to have to get them going on offense on that run game. Devontae Freeman had 14 carries for 42 yards and Coleman 11 for 29, although he did have a touchdown. But their defense, they played extremely well, and they shut down the running game against the Packers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was the leading rusher with 4 carries for 46 yards. But if they want to beat the Patriots, you got to stop Tom Brady from passing the ball. And Chris Hogan, he's been getting open a lot, former lacrosse player at Penn State, and now he's tearing up defenses in the NFL.
That's talking about getting to Tom Brady. That's one thing that I believe this Falcons team is different from ones in years past where we've seen them kind of fizzle out in the playoffs after a strong regular season. You know, this team has they're not great on defense, but they have a pretty solid defense. And like we saw last year in the AFC Championship game, the Broncos laid out the blueprint on how to get to Tom Brady and how to frustrate him. And I think the Falcons have that with Dwight Freeney and their front seven there. I think you'll see them try to get a lot of pressure on Brady and get to him early and often.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I agree, too. Green Bay, they kind of tried to avoid Vic Beasley, and they still ended up getting hurt on the other end with Freeney, and you had Poole. Just a really solid defense up front, I think. I think that the DBs are really going to have to step up this week if they want to try and shut down Brady. And like you said, they're going to have to get to Brady if they want to stop him.
Yeah, like I said, I agree with you because Aaron Rodgers, he was getting lit up all game. But if the defense, if they don't get to Tom Brady and they give him a lot of time in the pocket, I think he will eat them up. And by that, I mean hit the receivers open. Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan, you give them enough time to run routes, it's going to be a long ball game for the Falcons.
Let's talk about these championship games from this Sunday. You know, the Packers and Falcons, I really thought that game would be a lot closer than what it was. The Falcons, their offense, it clicked right away. They were hot early, got off to a great start. And the Packers, on the other hand, did not. They started off slow, three and out, three and out, three and out. And then, you know, you felt like, okay, the Packers are about to turn it on here. And they just never did. They couldn't get the offense going. It's like they were sleepwalking. So your thoughts on that? Any thoughts?
It kind of surprised me because the Packers, they've been on it. I think they've had like a 6 or 7 game win streak, not too for sure. And when they come out and beat Dallas at Dallas, I think last week or the week before, that really shocked me. So I had them coming in this game and literally beating up on the Falcons. But I guess my predictions was wrong on that one.
Yeah, last week, that was a really big game for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. I was really surprised as well Sunday. I thought that they were going to come out and Rodgers was just going to sling the ball all over the place. But I also thought Matt Ryan was too. I thought it was going to be a shootout game. I thought it was going to be a high-scoring game. But the Packers didn't really get anything going until like late second half, late third quarter, early fourth quarter. And then they didn't even play Rodgers for the whole fourth quarter. They brought in Brett Hundley, fifth-round draft pick out of UCLA, and I was very surprised that they just didn't come out ready to play.
Yeah, and the other game in the AFC, it didn't surprise me as much just because we know what the Patriots are, and the Steelers have kind of been – they've been good down the stretch, but earlier in the season, earlier this season, they went through a spell where I think they might have even lost 4 games in a row. But after Le'Veon Bell got hurt, you just kind of see the writing on the wall there.
Yeah, I wasn't really surprised about that one. I've always thought and said that men joked about that the Steelers are always known for winning ugly. Whether they play close with them, they usually win ugly. Like, they'd probably play close against the Browns, and Fulton could probably put up a game with the Browns.
Oh, yeah, there's a big possibility right there. But like you said, the Steelers went on like a 4-game losing streak in the regular season. And there was a point that I thought that they wouldn't even make the playoffs. But
yeah, they got lucky that their division wasn't really all that strong with Cincinnati and the Ravens. I mean, they were still playing for that division title at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah, so like just the fact that they can get to the playoffs, I think Tomlin, he will be okay with that, but you know, you could tell he really wanted to beat the Patriots. But just the fact that he can get to the playoffs with everything that happened during the regular season, I think that's one thing that the Steelers and Steeler fans can be happy about.
Yeah, I also think the AFC, I don't really think that they're as strong as the NFC is, because the NFC, you've pretty much got new teams in the playoffs just about every year. I mean, it switches from top to bottom every year in the NFC. AFC, when Peyton was there, you always had Peyton, Brady, and Big Ben always in the playoffs, and they actually both, all three of them actually started the past 13 out of 15 Super Bowls, so I think that says something right there about the AFC.
All right, real quick, which we'll give our official picks a couple weeks whenever we get closer to the Super Bowl, but right now, who's your pick to win the Super Bowl?
This is going to be a tough game. I think that it's going to be back and forth. Well, I hope it is. That's what I think. But as much as I hate to say it, I think Tom Brady and the Patriots will take the Super Bowl home with them.
Well, I kind of got a feeling the Patriots are going to win, although I want them to lose. But I don't really know right now. I'm kind of shaky with it, with how the Falcons are hot right now. I might go with them for the game. Matt Ryan, he's just on fire right now, so I don't know if I can go against him and Julio.
Yeah, as great of a season as the Falcons have had, definitely for Matt Ryan, he's had a tremendous season. Probably has a great chance to be the MVP. It's just hard to bet against the Patriots and with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. So that's right now, that's who I'm going to go with. We'll move on here. Talk since the last time we talked, which a lot has gone on, but here recently, the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, the class of 2017, has been voted on, and Tim Raines, Ivan Rodriguez, and Jeff Bagwell get into the Hall of Fame as players, and Bud Selig and John Schuerholz gets in also. Any thoughts on the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Well, I'm really glad Tim Raines finally made it in. I honestly thought he should have made it in earlier than what he did. He got 69.8% of the vote a year ago. He's a 7-time All-Star and 4-time NL Stolen Base Champion. He's almost batted 300 over his career. He's got an over 380 on-base percentage. He was one of the greatest leadoff hitters of his era, really one of the just greatest all-around players of his era. I really think that he deserved to be in it earlier than what he did, but I'm glad he made it.
Yeah, congratulations to those guys. It was well-deserving. But we were talking before the show started and how you said who else did you say?
Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens should have been in the Hall of Fame this year. What do you guys think about that?
I kind of think that they should be in it. They've let in Mike Piazza, who has suspicion of PEDs. There's kind of that gray area where they don't really know if he used them or not. And same with Pudge Rodriguez or Yvonne and Jeff Bagwell. All of them have suspicion over it. So my whole thing is, if somebody has suspicion over it, but, I mean, you aren't really sure whether they did or not, if you put one guy in, you need to put all of them in my opinion. And Jose Canseco actually tweeted out about it. He was really upset with it, and he said the exact same thing because, you know, in his book, Juiced, he ratted out a lot of the game's best and top players of their era and arguably of all time, and really just ratted them out, said they all use PEDs, and that's really hurt a lot of them and hurt their reputation and not let them get into the Hall of Fame, including himself. So,
yeah, I think they will get in. I think, as you mentioned, with Bagwell and Piazza, with them getting in, you know, we were talking about this before the show, too. How many – Bagwell had been on the ballot how many years?
Yeah, he'd been on it for about 7, I think it said.
Yeah, so I think that's what you're going to see with these guys who have been questioned of PED use. I don't think they'll be first ballot Hall of Famers. Whether it's right or wrong, I think the people who have a vote, I think that's going to be their way of punishing them. Talking about Clemens and Bonds, I mean, those are two all-time greats. And if PEDs weren't in the question, definitely – first ballot Hall of Famers. But I think with this PED stuff hanging as a dark cloud over them, I think you're going to see it's going to be a few years before they get in, just because kind of, I guess if you want to say, quote unquote, their punishment.
Yeah, I agree. I think this has actually helped out a lot of the PED players in getting into the Hall of Fame. I think a lot of them now have more hope than what they had before, with Bagwell and Piazza getting in last year and Rodriguez this year. I think it gives A-Rod a lot of hope when he's finally eligible to get in. And Clemens and Bonds, they both only missed by 1% of the votes. Bonds was up like over 9% from last year, and Clemens was up around the same, I'm pretty sure, but I think that they'll both make it in for sure next year.
Yeah, I also agree with that. Anybody, any thoughts on that? If not, we're gonna move on in and talk a little Tennessee basketball. Over the weekend, Tennessee took on the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. That game in Thompson Bowling, as the Vols took care of Mississippi State, beating them 91-74, an impressive showing by the Volunteers. Get the box score here. Several players contributed in that game. Grant Williams had 17, Jordan Bowden with 14, and Robert Hubbs with 19. So really a good performance all around, especially by those three. Bone had 8 and Kyle Alexander had 5. But, you know, this team, I don't know if you all have been keeping up with the basketball team this year, but, you know, this team's had ups and downs, had a close game with North Carolina and Gonzaga, really a bad loss on the road to Ole Miss. So they've just been up and down this year.
And I think you're going to really expect that from this team, considering how young a lot of our players are. And, you know, you got Rick Barnes in, first-year coach. I think he's going to end up doing a very well job here at UT for us, better than what Donnie Tindall or anybody before him could have done for us. You know, Rick Barnes, he's coming in, he's just laying the law down. He's letting these young players know what it is and just letting them know what he expects from it. And some of them are playing at a very high level, like Knoxville's own Jordan Bowden. He's had a pretty good freshman season so far. You still got Hubs out there doing work for us. I think that they're going to be a really good team here in the future when he gets his own recruiting class in and he finally gets some of these young guys with some experience. I think that they'll be very well, and they'll be one of the top teams in the SEC.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Presley, but as of right now, you guys may agree and you may not, but I think Tennessee is one of the top five just because when they do play teams like Florida and I think South Carolina they played, they've hung with them. They just can't close games out. And I think if they can learn how to close games out, they'll no doubt be for sure top five. But for me, I think they are top five.
Yeah, and that comes with being a young team. Almost everyone on this team besides – well, in fact, everybody on this team besides Robert Hubs is an underclassman. So you're going to have that with a young team. It's just frustrating whenever you see them go out on the road and beat a Vanderbilt team on the road, like I said, on the road, and then handle Mississippi State the way they did. I guess it's just frustrating to want them to put games back to back and have good games back to back. We'll see if they can do that tonight against Kentucky. Wildcats coming in ranked 5th in the country, I believe, undefeated in the conference. So definitely going to be a tough test for Rick Barnes and his squad.
Yeah, I think it's time for an upset here in Knoxville. Tennessee, they've been playing good all year. And, you know, with them, hustle hasn't really been a word because, I mean, it has been a word. It's been a key word for them because they're all maybe 6'5", 6'4". I think the tallest one might be Alexander. But with the hustle with them, like I said, they're 6'5". They're getting rebounds on people who's 7 foot, 6'11". I think that hustle really shows what this Tennessee team is about.
Yeah, I agree. The hustle is there, no doubt. But just overall talent wise, I just don't think right now UT has it. I don't think it's going to be much of a game against Kentucky. I think Malik Monk is just too much to handle for them. I mean, Kentucky played great against UNC. They played great against a lot of teams, and, you know, they're undefeated in the conference. Coach Calipari, he's just great. You know, you can't really get much better than him in college basketball, whether you like him or not. He wins, and that's really all that matters. And Kentucky, they're just one of the top teams in the nation. They've got some of the best players in the nation. I mean, Kentucky, no doubt, I think, is going to win this game. I don't know that it will be with ease. I mean, I think that they may struggle with UT for a little bit like they did a few years ago and last year. But I just think that Kentucky will end up pulling it off in the second half and just blowing it out of the water.
Well, I know a lot of people thought that same thing last year, and Kentucky rolled into Thompson Bowl and walked away with a loss to probably a worse Tennessee team than they have this year. But I do believe that Kentucky has a better team than they did last year as well. Kentucky is in first place in the SEC. Tennessee tied in a four-way tie for 8th place in the conference. So really, at 3-4, a lot of teams log jammed right there around the middle of the pack. I think after Tuesday, Tennessee has a game Saturday against Kansas State in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. You know, that's another going to be another tough game for the Vols, as Kansas State is they're a tough team as well.
Yeah, Kansas State, they're usually up there every year in the Big 12. They're a pretty good team year in and year out, and it'll be another tough test for the Vols. But I think I got hope in this one. I think that they could probably pull this one off.
Yeah, this is a – I think it's a key game for the Vols, because their schedule really hasn't been too easy this year. And I think if they can get this win against Kentucky and then the win against Kansas State, I think Tennessee will be taking a huge step in the right track.
Yeah, Kansas State is 15-4 on the year. Just came off a win against West Virginia, who is ranked 7th in the country. So a big win for the Wildcats there. And they have a game against Iowa State before taking on the Vols, so a little tune-up for them before coming to Knoxville. Meant to get to this earlier and looked over it, but before the show, Russell came in and asked us, we were talking a little NFL. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Who's more likable? So we'll just toss that question around.
Well, I think old Aaron Rodgers is more likable than Brady. I mean, they're both, no doubt, Hall of Famers at the end of their career. They're both, no doubt, some of the greatest to ever play. But I think with all the questions that Brady has over his career, you know, the Spygate towards the beginning in the 2000s, and then just recently the Deflategate, I think it really makes a lot of people not like Brady even more, especially since how he wins all the time every year. You know, he's got an easy division, I honestly think. But I'm not hating on Brady. Brady's the greatest to do it. He's going to be arguably one of probably the greatest to do it. But I think Aaron Rodgers is more likable, the blue-collar quarterback. You know, he sat under Brett Favre for a few years, and everybody all questioned, oh, is he going to be good, or is he just going to be a dud? And he came out and he showed he's going to be one of the greatest to ever play the game. But I think also with Brady, a lot of people envy Brady for, you know, he's got his sponsorship with Uggs. You know, he gets all the nice boots and warm clothes and stuff up there in New England. But also, he's got a supermodel wife in Giselle. Brady, he's just what every guy wants to be when they grow up. And I think that makes a lot of people not like him and very envious of him.
Yeah, this question is very simple to me. I've always told that everybody hates a winner, and I guess that's why everybody hates Tom Brady. But I think Aaron Rodgers is the most likable person out of both of them, just for the fact that Aaron Rodgers hasn't cheated, shall I say, like you said, Preston, Deflategate and so on. I think that Aaron Rodgers is the most likable person just for the fact that his name don't get out there a lot like Tom Brady does. I think when you hear the term NFL, you think of Tom Brady and all the legends before him. You really don't think of Aaron Rodgers, but I think Aaron Rodgers is the more likable one.
I'm gonna have to go with Brady on this one. By no means am I a Tom Brady fan, but for some reason I'm not a big fan of Aaron Rodgers. There's the whole deal where with his family, he doesn't talk to his family. He comes off as arrogant to me on the field, which Brady does too. I guess it kind of comes with the territory. Off of the field, I feel like Brady does seem like more of a likable guy, somebody that would be more friendly. But that's just me. So I would go with Brady over Rodgers.
Yeah, I can see it that way as well. But I think some of the reason why I think Rodgers is the more likable guy, because like Lucas said, you don't really hear Rodgers' name come up in the headlines a lot. You know, he kind of stays low-key when he's off the field, and he just kind of does his own thing. And I don't think that we're all too sure what all has gone on with Rodgers and his family and why they don't talk. I mean, it could be both ways, but also, I mean, Rodgers, You know, he's just a blue-collar guy. He likes to go out there and get the job done, and I think he does it at a very high level, and Brady does as well. And, I mean, it could go either way.
Yeah, this question was arguable, but I think one thing for sure is that way on in the future that for sure both of these two QBs will no doubt be in the Hall of Fame.
All right, that's going to do it for us this week. Be sure to join us next week here on WKCS with After the Whistle.